Yes. Good. I want this to be practical for you personally. And I'd really like to do the papers that I handed out to you. Start with the common generational groupings and just go prayerfully, take a minute and go over, circle maybe two or three at the most, the ones that you would say, yeah, this identifies my battle, okay? And so the idea is to identify, Holy Spirit, show me how to, you know, what's the name, how to, I want to make sure this gets taken care of. So take a minute to do that prayerfully. Father, I just pray that as we do this, that you would highlight, that you would, your Holy Spirit would come to rest on our minds, that we would see the things that we need to see, that we'd be blind to the things that we don't need to focus on today. But we thank you for your Holy Spirit at work here in powerful ways. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm sorry? Probably not in the group.
Yes, there are.
Are they?
Everybody I tried to give it to said they had one.
Okay. Does anybody else need one?
I think there's two different.
Yeah, there's so common generation. So you want to have one of each.
There's a bunch of them over there on the table.
Okay. Make sure you get one of each. We're starting with the groupings. So, yeah, the common generational blessings are used as a parallel after you're done praying for a cleansing from the groupings, common generational groupings. So the blessing is kind of pouring back in what God intended for you in that area.
Did you mean regroupings? I thought you said groupings.
Groupings, the clusters. Each one of those is a cluster. And so just circle the chief of the cluster that, yeah, this cluster looks like, that's what I battle with. Does that make sense? Is everybody... Everybody have two or three that you've done already? Okay, I'll give you another minute. Give me another minute. No, no stress or anxiety here, right?
Yeah.
Right, Tim? Okay.
Okay, so let's just be honest. You didn't say they were different ones.
Okay, you should have one of each.
Yeah, well, that was not clear.
Sorry, okay.
And so people are saying they only got...
Okay, does everybody have one of each? Okay, I think we're covered now. Thank you. So just highlight.
So while I was rectifying that, you were doing your...
Highlight two or three on the list that you would say, yeah, this is my area of battle. Did you have a question?
What did you tell us to do?
Just circle... the chief, the one in bold, you don't have to circle the whole cluster, but just the one in bold that the Holy Spirit, sometimes when people do this, they highlight 15 of them. The Holy Spirit doesn't overwhelm us with our horribleness, but he helps us to see two or three things that we battle. And so just circle those things that this is my battle, you know, if it's worry or if it's, you know, whatever. I don't want to put anything in mind. Oh, you need... Do we have an extra one, one of each? 3, 6, 9, 12, 13. Should be one of each. It's not... There's about 15 here, but... spouses, it would be helpful if for spouses to have... Do we have one? I think everybody... is there enough? Is there? Okay. Good. Okay. Take a minute.
We had one sheet between us at first. So we had the same paper. That's good. And it's like, no, this doesn't work for this second.
No, it's true. That's true. Okay. When you're finished with that, what I want you to do is go into groups of three and four at the most and just circle up. And if you, I'd kind of like to do it men with men. And ladies with ladies, and then I would like for you to talk about it just for a minute. You don't want to take a lot of time talking because you want to get to prayer and addressing this stuff. And so, take a few minutes to talk about it, but then stop and pray. Go on to the next person in your group. Do the same. Okay? Everybody ready to go into groups? So whenever you're ready, just stand up and get a couple people and cluster. These ladies are standing over there. So, all right. So we're coming back together, and I would like to hear just any good reports from what you prayed. What you was that helpful to identify? Okay, and to learn how to pray with authority over those things. Any questions that came up, or any insights that you do you want to push out a little further? Dead?
You're dead on target.
Oh, dead on target. Okay. Oh, you're dead, boy. Okay. Thank. Yeah. It's. I find it very, very helpful personally, and so we live using this stuff. So and it brings life. Once you get free from this stuff, and you learn, oh, I don't have to carry that. That's what my family looks like three generations back. But it doesn't look like the Holy Spirit. It doesn't look like me. We're going to learn how to change those patterns. Thank you. Anybody else?
I felt down the root of poverty a lot of where I was dealing with.
Yeah, excellent. 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 Okay. All right. Done good. Anybody else? You don't have to report on your friend who prayed about a certain... Don't tell on each other stuff. But we do keep praying now that we know. We learn how to pray for each other and support each other. Okay, let's look at the handouts I gave you. The one I just created, kind of the just to realize there's a pathway to depression. Number one, you identify the place. Am I just at the point of discouragement, despondency, dejection, defeat, and hopeless? Am I really heading down that pathway? That's not good. So learning to be quick to identify. It's called the pathway to depression. That's what we're looking at. You see that one? Okay. And so, you know, that's toward the end, it's morbid. You know, you don't want to, but a lot of people in our culture, a lot of young people battle this stuff daily, and learning to identify it as a spiritual root. There are things that we need to stop doing that feed the depression or feed this, learning to identify the root. And then the next one, the pathway to joy. Learning to be satisfied, feel gratified, refreshed, enlivened, energized, delighted, jubilant, exhilarated, euphoric. Anybody feel euphoric lately? This stuff is what Holy Spirit. And it's not, and it wasn't a chemical either. It wasn't coffee, and no, three cups of coffee. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. So it's so the Lord. Yeah. Yep. Okay. And then this last one, just for a kind of a tool to help others. Depression do's and don'ts. We often don't quite know how to care for people who are battling depression. It is a real medical condition, and counselors should not try to interfere with medical treatment of depression. However, there's a spiritual aspect to it, which is what we're addressing. A common spiritual definition of depression is that it's a condition in which one's personal spirit has died to its capacity to sustain the person fully, either emotionally or physically. Depression is not despondency or discouragement, and the following encouragements are appropriate for neurotic depression, not this psychotic depression or manic depressive disorder. Things that you don't want to do, like one who takes off a garment on cold days and one who sings songs to a troubled heart. Don't sing to somebody and try to cheer them up if they're depressed. That works for most of us if we've had a bad day and you wake up singing to your husband. Or and what? Okay, that would put him in depression. Okay. Don't do that. Okay. when we had our third child, I'm there at the birth and trying, and the doctor didn't show up yet. He thinks it's going to be another half hour, and it's like 15 minutes after we show up. Our third child's born, and I'm trying to calm things down, and I'm singing, stop singing, Jesus. So don't say cheer up to a depressed person. Don't take the depressed person to a party, a worship service, or a prayer meeting. That might seem counterintuitive. Theater production, things that normally would bring joy or bring release, are not helpful for a depressive. So just being aware that this is deeper than just, you know, it's a deeper battle. Don't try to preach or teach or give advice or scold or ask the person to find strength in their private devotions. They've tried that and it doesn't work. They've tried the Psalms and it doesn't work. They've tried other people's prayers and it doesn't work. Don't try to cast out the demon of depression for another person. Now they're going to be really depressed because they have a demon. So, and not in our presence. Or pray under your breath or in the spirit or quietly. Don't smile too much or talk too much. Don't stand while the depressed person is sitting. I should sit down here, shouldn't I? Don't stand. That's a little too low. Don't stand while the depressed person is sitting. Don't sit too close or close the door while I'm ministering. They like to have space, and if the door is closed, they feel confined sometimes. Don't put the responsibility for overcoming on people who are depressed. They've tried everything. So we are to be responsible for the condition of our spirit and condition of our soul. And so, but a depressed person has tried and tried and tried. You are the one, and this is kind of a surprising statement, as a friend or as a family member, you are the one who needs to carry them until they have a strength again to walk on their own. Some of the do's: rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, commiserate. Describe to the person how he or she is feeling. I know how you feel. Every morning the sky is black, every decision is too much, you can't make yourself do the little. So learning to identify, all of us have had a measure of depression, discouragement, despondency, but you know a bit of what that feels like. It's not telling stories about your depression and how you overcame it, but learning to identify there what it feels like. Tell the person, number two, that you're confident you can pray in such a way that he or she will be healed. Explain that they, like the paralytic's friend, you're bringing him or her to Jesus to be healed. Place your hands lightly on the person's shoulders or take their hand. Pray vividly, imaginatively, and positively with confidence. Not too many words. Keep it brief. Share with the person that they may not feel different right away, but that in time the healing will come. Once the person is stronger, look for the roots that have led to the depression. Address them well. A lot of that is from Healing the Wounded Spirit, an excellent, excellent source for them, Sandford's. Any thoughts on that? Does that make sense? Just a helpful tool. Good. Anything else? Anything else we ought to cover? You guys are probably getting hungry about now. Snacking all morning. Oh man, I've got some stuff here I'd love to share. Are you sure? You all right? Let me just finish with this. Sources. Yeah, that'll take us up. We'll have about 10 minutes here. Sources for restoration, for balance, for slip-proofing our walk. We've already covered some of these, but let me finish with a few more. Whenever we get together as a flock, the Lord told us, gather the little flock, and so we've been doing that every week, every Wednesday night. One night I was reading Proverbs in preparation for flock, and it was that proverb, by wisdom a house is filled with rare and precious treasures. And I thought, rare and precious, what in the world is that? You know, is it filled with beautiful paintings? I don't think that's what the Lord is talking about. Is it beautiful homes and immaculately done and rare and precious treasures? And just had a sense of the Lord saying, almost like with a twinkle in his eye, you'll see in about 40 minutes. 40 minutes later, here comes the first one, rare and precious treasure. One after another, till the house is full of a dozen or so people. Kenny and Liz last night had a yard full of rare and precious treasures. People that God loves. We sometimes go home and we laugh, and the stuff that we deal with, that we all deal with, crazy things. One time we were leading a small group in another church, the church that I was talking with Tim about. And out of 15 adults, there were about 15 kids, 15 adults. I think 9 out of 15 were getting counseling, therapy, psychiatrists, things like, and we just go home with, we would laugh. It was just humorous at times. We'd also have to cleanse the house of stuff that people bring in, but people are rare and precious treasures. And to realize, wow, do people feel that when they come in your home? You have to work at that, because sometimes people feel like they're invading my privacy. But to realize people come, and I saw that look. We won't mention names. But do people feel loved when they come in their home and welcome? So welcome. Just welcome people. People are touched when they're cared for. Another practice that we have every time we meet, what are the testimonies? What are the good reports? And the first couple of years, it was a little, it was a little slow, and there was a few things that happened. But a couple of months ago, all 12 people went around the room. We just had, for the next half hour, amazing testimonies that only God could have done. It's like, wow, we're getting to a new place. The Lord is doing things among us because we've been consistent. Testimonies are legal. It's actually a legal term, isn't it? In a court of law, a testimony means I'm an eyewitness. And Revelation, is it 12? The word of their testimony, it breaks the authority of the enemy when we share good reports, builds faith. I'm telling you, we do it every time we meet. If we don't have one, we put on North Georgia Revival testimonies. People that are getting baptized. Are you familiar? Have you heard about the North Georgia Revival? Have you been there? I'd recommend going. It's probably shorter for you than it is for us. It's about 9 hours of travel. North Georgia Revival, a little town of 3,500 people, 5,000 now, of Dawsonville, Georgia, north of Atlanta, north of us. They baptized in the last 7 years about 47,000 people. And Pastor Todd will come to this church. He came to our house. The pastor, he doesn't ask how many people. There's 12 people in our flock. He said, I didn't ask you how many. I'm willing to come wherever you're hungry for more of God. People are getting baptized, and they're getting healed in the water, 3 seconds in the water. And the Lord told him, if you begin baptizing, I'll baptize in the Holy Spirit and fire. And so people's marriages began to get healed. People's physically, they've taken more than 2,000 videos and camera shots in the last 7 years. They document everything, so you can't fake this stuff or you can't make it happen. If it's an unusual miracle, cancer healed, they always have a medical report or an X-ray scan of before and after. So this is not hype. They don't even advertise. They don't try to. I'm telling you, the Lord is doing amazing work. Just if you want to hear a testimony, play them Sunday morning, just a 7-minute testimony. We're in tears almost every time what God can do. He's amazing, amazing. So share testimonies. Keep the testimonies coming. Worship. You guys do that, do it well. It's attracting his presence. It beautifies everything, makes us beautiful again. The word is always building and strengthening, praying over each other. Let me give you a finish with this word, Titus 3:4-7. Titus 3, verses 4 through 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The phrase, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, the term washing there is lutron. It has to do with a bath or a washing. It's used of baptism in the New Testament. And it's used in as a term for purification for the Jews. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify her, the church, having cleansed her, that's us, through the bath of water in the Word. So the Word bathes us, cleanses us, washes off the debris that we pick up, like dirt on the streets, like putrescence on Netflix or YouTube or garbage that we just kind of get exposed to. Baptism in connection with this word, lutron, is understood here as the purification bath of a bride who is then presented to her husband. The term regeneration is also a fascinating one. Palin geneseo. Can you hear the term, the second part of that word, geneseo? It means, palin means to back again. It's a compound word, very rich word. Genesia, to come or to become, to come about. In other words, to become again or to come about again. It's a rebirth, a term for being rebirthed, being birthed again. It speaks of a spiritual restoration that God is wanting to do in our lives, a restoration of health, of new life, of a new beginning. So the New Testament uses this word a lot. It has to do with a new person, a new creation, a total restoration of all things. It's going to happen at his final coming, but it's supposed to happen here. We're supposed to be bringing heaven down here, aren't we? Does your home look like heaven? If it doesn't quite look like heaven yet, keep praying. Keep repenting. I get on my knees pretty regularly these days, most every morning, in fact, before Rosemary and I meet together. A couple weeks ago, we had a disagreement, and I was right, of course, again. But before we went to bed, I thought, I've got to get on my knees. Maybe she was a little right, but I had to. That wasn't enough. I had to have my nose in the carpet before. So it takes going low, but he always elevates us, doesn't he? It takes going low and acknowledging stuff that's in our hearts We don't like to believe it's there. We have other names for it. But he always elevates us, always brings us higher, always restores, creates new things, new birth. Sometimes we need prayer, and I'm going to close with just praying a blessing over you guys, but sometimes we simply need a bath, a baptism, a washing, a mikvah. It's a Jewish term for it. In fact, Jewish homes even today have mikvahs in them. A little bath that you walk into that's a short walk, a cleansing. Maybe you guys are going to dig up your swimming pool again or else get a tub or something. But the Lord is doing something in the waters all across this country. You've seen the baptisms on campus by the thousands, campuses all over the country, in addition to the 47,000 baptisms that recorded baptisms at this little church in Dawsonville. There's probably another 70,000. We did, like, our little house church, we moved a two-car garage, moved two cars out, and had 75 people in for two nights, 40 people each night baptized in our hot tub. And, it's the Lord's doing new things. 70,000 people in addition, people all over the country, revivals, kind of pockets of revival. Just encourage you, whatever it takes to see the Lord work. This place is a wellspring, and sometimes it's very obvious. Sometimes we go through seasons where it feels like a trickle. But the Lord is going to open up the wells again, I think, for all of us. I want to pray that for you. Love you guys. Thanks for inviting me. You didn't have to come out on a Saturday. There's a lot of things. There's probably 20,000 things between us all that we could have done today. Just going to pray, closing prayer. Father, I thank you. I just thank you for this body. And Lord, you, this is your idea, really, this place on the mountain, this place that we climb up to gather together. Under your name and under your word and around your presence. And I just thank you, Lord, that you've chosen this place to be a wellspring. You've chosen this place. And so we thank you, Lord, that you have in the past, there have been times of glory here. There have been times of release here, times of healing and times of refreshment. Lord, you intend for that to happen again, but not just happen again, but to continue. And so we ask, Lord Jesus, that revival, springs of revival would spring up here once again in ways that that have not been seen before. I think of a friend that I was praying with the other day who heard that we were coming to Wellspring, and some living in Pennsylvania now, but he used to come down here regularly because people from all over the country would come to be encouraged, to be restored, to be lifted up here. We ask, Lord, that that level of revival would keep increasing. I just speak blessing on the young leadership couples who've been ordained, each one of them, pockets of revival in their homes. Their homes have become places of peace, of joy, of order. Each one of our households here, we bless with your presence, your power, your glory. And we ask, Lord, that it would simply spill out into the streets, spill out into relationships, spill out in our workplaces. I thank you, Father, for the joy that you take in this body, the joy that you take, rare and precious treasures, each one. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that they see themselves as you see them. They experience you in deep ways. I pray that the love of Father would be poured into our lives in such powerful ways that we'd be waking up with dreams, visions, things that we've never seen before about you, God. We've never felt before from you, but that you would we would experience you in new ways. Lord, we have got to see your face so that we can make it to the end. There's craziness all around us, but if we see your face, we can make it to the end. And so we thank you that you open up our eyes to see visions of you. Thank you for the vision of Rosemary's experience in heaven as a little girl. It's affected the course of her whole life. It's affected my life. It's affected other lives. Lord, you want us to bring heaven down. We pray your wishes be done in our hearts, in our homes on earth, as it is in heaven. And so I just ask that your heaven would come down in gatherings here, in worship times, your word being preached, as that these grounds have become places of heaven on earth. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just bless Pastor John, Marianne. We just bless her again with good health, strength. You'd restore her body, restore her soul, restore her spirit, refresh it. Pastor John, encourage, continue to strengthen the team around him. We thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing. We trust you for all these things. Thank you, Lord, that you sweep away the things that we've been talking about, the anxiety, stress, that those things would not be named among us, that you would set us so free from depressive things and things that seem like they're part of our body or bodily system or chemicals. Lord, you have ways of cleansing and setting us free. And so we choose your purposes and your designs. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that joy, this place will continue to be known for increased joy, increased laughter, for dance and song and continued creativity and unleashed in this region. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in your powerful name. Amen. Amen. Bless you all. Love you all.